This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
Good afternoon and welcome to At Close of Business, a daily podcast hosted by Business News.
To find out how WA's communications firms are attracting staff in a tight labour market, listen to today's episode of At Close of Business with me, journalist Jordan Murray.
But first, here's the news you need to know today.
Sandfire Resources is set to become one of the largest listed copper producers through the $2.6 billion cash acquisition of an operating mine in Spain. This morning, Sandfire announced it had entered into a binding sale and purchase agreement with the owners of the base metals operation, which is forecast to deliver as much as 120,000 tonnes of copper equivalent this financial year. Sandfire is funding the acquisition with a $1.25 billion equity raising, debt facilities and cash reserves. The acquisition is expected to transform Sandfire into one of the largest listed copper producers, the first deal in a number of years to have had this full support of the entire board and leadership team. And in property news, Dexus has bought Jandakot Airport and surrounding land for $1.3 billion, establishing its footprint in WA logistics infrastructure. The acquisition, which includes 49 industrial properties over 360,000 square metres, 80 hectares of developable land and an operating airport, marks the property giant's first logistics investment in WA. Dexus made the purchase with a recently acquired property trust, which will raise equity for a 33.3% stake in the asset from Ascot Capital and Kirsch Group. The property giant plans to develop the industrial portion of the land into a logistics hub. Dexus said the acquisition marked an important push in logistics in WA, as well as being the first operational airport it had invested in. Dexus is expected to spend close to $500 million over the next 5 to 7 years to develop the 80-hectare parcel part of the Jandakot City precinct. And former Qantas director Graham Scott is suing the company and several of its most senior executives over defamatory comments allegedly contained in a series of letters to the corporate watchdog, but the company has vowed to vigorously defend its position. According to a writ lodged in the Supreme Court, Mr. Scott alleges the parties made false and defamatory statements in three letters sent to the Australian Securities and Investments Commission between May 26 and June 18 of this year. Mr. Scott and his lawyer have sought damages for the alleged defamation, including aggravated damages, as well as an injunction that would prevent the parties from repeating or republishing the defamatory comments. But a Qantas spokesperson told Business News the letters were submissions to ASIC, sent to assist with its ongoing assessment into whether to award an Australian financial services licence to entities associated with Mr. Scott. The spokesperson said the company intended to vigorously defend its position on the grounds that the statements were true and covered by qualified privilege. Qantas, which was established back in 1998 as Tropical Forestry Services, manages and operates 6,500 hectares of irrigated Indian sandalwood plantations in the Kimberley to facilitate the cultivation and sale of sandalwood oil. Mr. Scott was a founding director and major shareholder of the company from its inception until 2018, before taking on the role of responsible manager for agri-management, a newly established agricultural business manager.
We'll be right back.
We understand that business relies on being informed. That's why Business News is your most reliable source of news, industry insights, and business connections. To stay fully informed, we encourage you to subscribe to our emails, flick through our magazine, and visit businessnews.com.au for daily news updates. It's the best way to ensure you have the information you need to be future ready. Business News. More news, more insights, more connections.
Now, Jordan, in this latest edition, you have taken a look at communications professionals and the emerging trend of bringing those services in-house. Can you take me through what prompted the article?
I think this was very much a conscious attempt to take the discussion around skill shortages and labour shortages, generally speaking, and apply that to professional services. So I guess there's been a very broad discussion about how this applies to nurses, miners, and construction workers. But there has been a very conscious attempt on behalf of big companies and government to bring these, spin doctors in-house, which has meant that these smaller boutique firms that we're familiar with, or even the bigger communication firms that we're familiar with, are now having to compete with companies that can offer a lot of money, or in the case of government, a lot of really good benefits. And it's made what has been a generally accepted transition for a lot of journalists a lot more competitive, because there's a lot more roles on offer. And I think it was just interesting to talk to some of these established businesses that have been in the market for a little while and have seen downturns and they've seen booms before, to get a sense of what they can do to compete with these companies that are moving into the communication space.
Mm-hmm. And during a pandemic, it's especially important to have clear, concise information. What are some of these people doing to get quality staff?
Well, a lot of this, I get the sense of, is reputation. So I know GRA and GT Communications, Gemma Todnini at GT and Jason Morocchi at GRA, spoke to the reputation that their business has had in market. And I certainly think that that's true. They've been around for a very long time, and there's a sense that on the back of that success, you're working for a trusted brand there. So that's obviously quite appealing to people who are looking for a job and they're hoping that they're not going to get kicked to the curb in 12 to 24 months when communications falls off the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also some interesting outside-the-box approaches. So, I mean, Nicole Moody at Hunter Communications spoke to me a bit about moving their office to Subiaco. So they're on West Perth, which a lot of these communications firms tend to be based out of. But moving down to Subiaco really opens them up to the train station, to the cafes, to the restaurants, and a good mixed-use suburb that maybe you don't really get on the other side of town near Parliament. Conversely, I spoke to Daniel Smith and Anthony Fisk at CGM Communications, and they have quite an interesting revenue-sharing model in place whereby if you introduce a client to the firm, you get an ongoing share of that income for the duration of the time that you're employed with CGM Communications, which is obviously quite appealing for those who are motivated by money. And I think it shows a way in which a business and prospective employees can work together for mutually beneficial outcomes in a financially flexible way that I guess the big mining companies or construction companies or government for that matter can't really do.
Mm-hmm. And you have made a note of some of the notable moves. Can you take me through a couple of those?
I wish I could have noted more, because I actually did do a fair bit of research on this, and people get hired in certain capacities, so I've had to limit it to about a dozen that I thought were interesting. But look, there's quite a few good names there. So Brent Fleeton works at Clarity Communications. We're all quite familiar with Brent. He's quite vocal in his position as a councillor at City of Perth. CGM Communications has some notable people working for them. So there's Simon Ward. He was formerly Chief of Staff to Peter Tinley, and he's in an Associate Director role there. And Stuart Crockett, who was the State Commissioner to Greater China until very recently, and he's helping them expand their firm into engagement with prospective Asian businesses. On top of that, you've got the usual suspects. So there's Canning's Purple and GRA. They've added quite a few significant staff there. There's FTI Consulting. They've added Bill Johnson's former Chief of Staff, Neil Roberts. Spoke Corporate, they've hired Mia Davies, former Chief of Staff, Josh Nyman. So you can see there are quite a lot of notable people who are moving into these communications firms, and they're probably adding quite a lot of value, I would imagine. I guess it's about getting more of those people in and really playing up the strengths of those smaller boutique firms, selling that place in the market that they do have in a successful manner.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for that overview, Jordan. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jacinta.
This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
If you like what you've heard, head to our Spotify page to like and subscribe. New episodes of At Close of Business are available every day in time for our afternoon wrap. I'm Jordan Murray. See you tomorrow.